everybody. On this one, I'm just going to be driving back from the Panhandle, talking about just getting prepped for next year and some of the things, and a little bit into scrapes and everything and community scrapes. I'm going to dive more into that. I think I want to do a series on it, and working out with a buddy of mine that should be coming on to do them with me. So we'll keep y'all tuned up to what we're going to be doing, and you know, all in the loop. So just bear with us. The one I'm driving in, it was raining, sleeting, snowing. I just threw my phone on record and started talking. So here we go.
Hey everybody. So that, you'll hear a little bit of background noise. I'm driving, it's raining, headed back from the Panhandle. Got up from, it was snowing over here this morning. I mean, I'm recording this one on, like, what's today? March 8th in the air, whatever the hell Tuesday is, the 14th or something, I don't know. So just riding back, about halfway back towards my house. So we're gonna, what I want to talk about today is, like, so seasons come to an end, obviously, pretty much for everybody, right? And then, so with that, talking about prepping for next year's success, now's a good time. I've already done mine. Like, I've got certain areas of my place that, and most places that I hunt, like, on private land. Like, my place or one of the others I'll hunt, I won't go into certain areas of those all year. Like, push into them. I know they're, like, kind of like, I don't like the word sanctuary, but, you know, it's just, this is a good place. I know the deer are going to be in there. I don't want to push them out during deer season to my neighbor's property or whatever, so I don't push hard in there. I'll hunt the outskirts of it because I know they're going to be coming through to feed or whatever. But after season is when I'll go in there and check it, check for sheds and everything else, which is, I actually went through last weekend and checked an area because I've already found some sheds. Some deer hold their horns, some of them already shedded. So we found a couple sheds already. So that, like, we hit those areas. I won't go back into them the rest of this year. What we're going to start doing now is I keep my feeders, like I said, we talked about this on another podcast, I keep my feeders full year round. So when I get in this, I'm headed in, like I said, today. I should be in showing on GPS like 12:30, and I'm recording this at like 9:20 in the morning, so you can tell I'm not halfway yet. So we'll I'll get there. Hopefully it's not raining at my house. It's, like I said, raining and snowing on the west side of the state, so hopefully I get some good weather and I can get out there. And I need to top feeders off. I need to add need to till up where I'm going to replant the fall food plot that I did, get some spring stuff in there. I need to get the sides up on their box stand, start doing the outside walls and everything, and that's just little by little. So, but their stand's up front, my boys and my daughter behind that stand. It's got a lot of does on it. It pulls does, and I've actually got a few bucks on it, and it's 400 yards from where I hunt, but I've got pictures of some bucks on it that I've never had on my stand in the back where I killed this past year. And but I need to go back there and make some adjustments on my area. And which brings me into the thing of what I said I'd be diving into is mock scrapes. I've always had luck with them, and I know, like, a lot of people don't care for them. They don't have the luck with them. I've literally, like, I've got one right now, and I've got a camera over, and I'll check the camera this weekend if it's crazy weather and I go in there. I made the scrape in October, went in, it's got a fence line in the background, it's on a tree, it's got a good branch hanging over, like, with the yearlicking branch and everything. Went in there and set it up. They are still using it, it's still clean, they'll clean it out. Like, what a lot of it, scrapes aren't just utilized during the rut and everything, they will utilize scrapes year-round. And it's, like, not crazy action, they're not trying to, like, they're not, you know, digging them out, like, pissing them and everything, like, trying to show, you know, looking for hot does or anything. They use them to communicate with each other. So, I like to, and that's what you call community scrape. You have scrapes that are used for rut, then you have community scrapes that are just, hey, how are you scrapes? Like, everybody uses them. And that's where I think a big thing in the scrape world is, like, people think scrapes are just a rut action thing, and they're not. They're a form of communication, and that's where I think people mess up, thinking that they're just a rut thing. I like to try and establish a good, and I have my own setup that I use for making them that we'll probably have coming tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have them on the market next year. We've got a lot of guys that use it, and that are close friends and everything, that we just keep, we haven't promoted it to the public. It's going to be coming out hopefully next year, if not the following year. We're looking for a few more guys to test it and let us know what they think about it. So probably, and that may hold us up from putting it on market for next year's season, it'd be the following year's season. And we are actually looking to expand, and I'll get into this on the Facebook page, the YouTube channel, but listen to these podcasts. We're looking at expanding our pro staff and bringing in on some guys. When I say pro staff, you'll get, we have a little deal where we'll work. So it's still a work in progress on what it is. It's kind of a crawl, like more of a field staff and what we expect and what you would get for what we expect. And, you know, it's not just a give, take thing. Like we coming from the fishing background, I understand your field staffs and pro staffs a lot, where some of these guys have never been on either. Don't. So we're going to try and, like, I hate to use the word, dummy ours down, because it's not just hand me things. You put a lot, like, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody from doing it, but we'll get into that. That's a whole nother podcast. And hopefully I can bring in some guys that I know real well that are fish on a professional level. Like, I've brought in professionals before when we've done them, but I want to bring some in that I know to talk about how that works, to, you know, so the average guy gets it instead of what a lot of people think. With that said, we're going back into mock scrapes. I have our setup that I use, and I've had good luck with it. We keep deer on ours. I make sure I make some community scrapes. We keep them where they work year-round, because early season, you're going to have does, young bucks coming into those mock scrapes that have become community scrapes, and they're going to check them. Like, they're going to be there. They're going to go. Well, once those start coming in and the rut does start, your other bucks, he's not going to come out. Usually he's not going to hit that scrape at all, but he will come through on the downwind side of it and cruise it and check to see if those other does. And that's when you can step back and figure out where he's making his regular scrape line. And I'm not a proponent for hunting over scrapes or rubs. I kind of like what Dan Infault said, hunt hot sign when hot sign is hot. And that's something that you learn over time of what's, you know, how fresh a sign is, if it's really hot, if they're actually hitting it, if they're doing this and that. So that's something that you're going to have, like, you learn it as you go. So we're, we're going to go into a few, like I said, do some videos on them and everything, and dive into a series on mock scrapes and community scrapes. Like I said, I've got some. They've got a place, one of the places I hunt occasionally, I haven't hunted it in 2 years, probably in North Louisiana. It's my wife's family's land. I made a community scrape there that they were hitting. I had it going for well over 2 years. It would be 4 or 5 years old now. I haven't checked it, but I hadn't been on the place in 2 years, but I'm willing to guarantee that they're still using it. Like, that's how confident I am in the setup that I've done to get over to use it. And I know that's cocky, but I've had good luck with it, and I believe in what I do and how I do it. You can't just throw it anywhere and be like, oh, this is a good spot. There's a reason, rhyme, method behind why deer do what they do. And until you understand that, then mock scrapes aren't going to work, or, you know, like, you know, feeders aren't going to work. Like, I've literally had a feeder set up, a buddy of mine, and had one set up and had no pictures of deer coming through there. They wasn't touching it. We moved it 50 feet, literally 50 feet further back than he had it, and he started seeing deer every sip. He wasn't quite where they needed to be, and they wasn't going out of their range to get that. There was a reason they were sticking where they were at, and, you know, but he had overlooked that, and just things that simple. obviously it's not going to work if you're not putting it in a position for it to work. And once you get them to work, they will continue to work because it's in their wheelhouse, per se, already. You're not making them go out of their way to do it. You know, as a person, you're not going to go out of your way to do something, like, usually. Like, and I hate to put it that way, but it's like, if it's easier to go this way, you're going to go that way. And that's what they're going to do. So if you make it where they got to deviate from what's easy for them, why would they do it? So you keep it simple with them. Put it in the areas that you know you have deer movement and where deer, and they're going to move a certain way. So there's a rhyme and reason to everything they do. Once you figure that out, you can start setting your mock scrapes and get deer on them, and you can actually start hunting scrapes in a more productive manner, which is something we'll dive into and everything. Because, like, the bucks, I killed a 4-point and 11-point this year, and the 11-point came to some feed because rut was over. He was looking for feed. The 4-point, it was actually, he came up, checked the scrape out and everything, and made a loop and went on. And I shot him. It was early season. I shouldn't have shot him, but I did. I couldn't stop myself from shooting him. It was the first buck off of my place, so I did it. And, shouldn't have done it, but I got that one out of the way. Won't do it again. So then I've got some film of some other bucks coming up, working scrapes and everything off the stuff we use. But it's because I've made it where they're in their wheelhouse. And that's something we'll dive into. This is just a little, like, icebreaker thing of what we're going to be getting into. I think I'm going to do a couple series podcasts on it over the next few weeks. They may not be in order. There might be something else between them. Because, like I said, I'm supposed to have a couple. Pro staff guys is supposed to have his set up where we can actually start him jumping on the podcast with me. We're going to start recording some together and actually producing them. They'll probably live on Facebook. YouTube, or recorded for YouTube and kicked out to the YouTube channel while we're doing them, so people can interact and change up a few things like that. We're gonna have he should be in starting soon. We're trying to set up time frame to record on Friday nights. If we all can get together and do the go squirrel hunting in May, we'll probably record one from camp. Sorry, my coffee cup's rattling as I drive, if that's in the background. Trying to change up a few things, bring a few things that are cool. Like I said, I want to dive into a process. It'll be a 2 or 3 shows after this one. Not sure the order, but I will break it down where my process of doing a mock scrape, why I do what I do, where I do what I do. And if you have any questions, please reach out, ask us questions. We would be more than happy to answer them. We want y'all's interaction, good or bad interaction. We want it. If you're not happy with what we're doing, tell us. If you're happy with what we're doing, tell us. If you want to see a change, tell us. We'll try to do what we can do, because we want, without interaction, you can't get better at what you do. So we strive to do better. That's why we're back to every week putting podcasts out. I know a lot of them has been me. I'm working with my guys to get part of it. I'm trying to talk my wife into coming on one, and us talking about, like, because I didn't hunt as much this year as I usually do because of work. And I literally, Oklahoma's a 2-buck. I killed my 2 bucks the day after Thanksgiving. I was done with season. I hunted some with my sons, and we had a few opportunities on some. Does. We set up, and they were supposed to come out on our right, and they came out on our left. Like, we set up, and they were supposed to come out on our left, and they came out on our right. Like, it just, it was fucking backwards every time. And, but that's hunting, and, like, it was great. It's my youngest son. The oldest one doesn't really care to hunt. My youngest son, my 9-year-old, like I said, if it was deer season right now, it's 37 and snowing where I'm at, if he was with me and it was deer season, I'd be like, let's go deer hunting. Okay. Or, hell, I could tell him right now, let's go scouting this. Let's go scout. Look, okay, he's down. I actually, if any of y'all are listening or familiar with custom gear modifications, I ordered him the Pygmy Rattler set for Christmas. So he's got his own saddle now because I strictly saddle hunt. And he's been starting to warm up. He's messed with my platform and stuff before, my one stick. So got him his saddles and everything. So we're going to get him set up. I want to reach out to those guys at Custom Gear Modifications, see if I can get them on for a podcast, because they have some really cool stuff. And like I said, the Pygmy Rattlers kit is what I ordered. I think I ordered it Thanksgiving. It got here for Christmas. My son got it for Christmas present. Like, he was super excited. And we're getting the weather where he can actually start using it and practicing and go from there. I know I've kind of veered from where I was at on, like, mock scrapes. But like I said, kind of hit the shoulder. This is one of those things where I wanted to explain what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, with diving into a series on that. And I'll probably, and it should have some stuff on Facebook and YouTube about it coming out and how we do stuff. I just gotta get the weather to cooperate where I can get some things done. Y'all stay tuned. A few new announcements coming from us. Y'all reach out to us on Delta Flodge Outdoors at Facebook, YouTube, the TikTok, I think Instagram, podcast stuff and everything. So thanks, Julius Craig, Delta Flodge Outdoors.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to Delta Flodge Outdoors. This is Julius Craig. We appreciate you listening.